Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Hello, hello, hello! Welcome to a brand new arc of Unprepared Casters. This arc will be wild things, and you're about to hear myself and Amelia go into all the details, and then we'll meet the cast and their characters. It's an episode zero. Hope you have a good time. I don't have anything else to tell you about it. Thank you so much. Leave us a review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. Enjoy the show!
Hello!
And welcome to Unprepared Casters, Wild Things.
You make my heart sing.
Hey! It's a whole new arc. And maybe you've seen us, heard us many, many times before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're starting right here at the Wild of Things.
Welcome.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you. This is Unprepared Casters, and we are its humble hosts.
Most people do not call me humble these days, but I do... I do appreciate the adjective.
My name is Haley Whip Jack. I will be running this game. I am humble host number one. Who are you?
Hi, I am Amelia Somm, humble host number two, and I won't be here.
Then what are you doing in my podcast?
Okay, so here's the thing. We should talk a little bit about what the show is, and then I'll tell you what I'm doing, because it's kind of
then
involved.
You'll explain.
I got to explain the show, and then we can get into the meta of the show.
Sure.
Unprepared Casters, if you found us, again, hello and welcome. We do short arcs. So some shows have very long, intricately woven campaigns, and we have taken that and have broken it down into 6 to 8 episode stories. Some are little, for the most part. Some are like little one shots here and there, maybe a 2 or 3 parter. That way, if you're just joining us right now, you don't have to catch up on hundreds of hours of content. They are all set in the same world. They're all loosely or tightly interconnected with one another. But you can just start right here. This is actually a really, really, and we say this a lot of the time.
This
one is a really good one to just jump in if you don't know anything about the show, or if you've heard me talk for about 45 seconds and you said, well, that's enough of that.
Sounds fine, I guess. We've got somebody doing their first arc with us, so there's no big heavy lore that you need to know in advance here.
The heavy lore you do need to know is that Unprepared Casters Studios is situated within a labyrinth.
That is where we are currently.
We are currently in the labyrinth. There is a minotaur who works for us. There are many other things, mysterious rooms, traps, creatures, what have you, break rooms, cryonic freezing tanks that exist here. And it occurred to me, since we started here, moved the studio here, at some point we were just here.
You joined on and then we were kind of just labyrinth mode.
Yeah. And I've been thinking, what's the deal with that? So what I've planned to do, I know how to get to most places. It's pretty accessible.
You kind of just figure out your routes.
Yeah, but some of the paths do change, and some of them do take like a really long time. And there's also lots of parts that we haven't gotten to. And the Minotaur did show me some secret trap doors and things. And so I kind of feel like maybe we should know what's there.
Okay. Sorry. So you don't want to do wild things, the new arc of the podcast. You want us to go map out the labyrinth instead.
Well, I mean, you can do wild. It's not that I don't want to do wild things. And here's the thing. This was weighing heavily on my heart because the people who you're going to meet who are doing wild things are some of my favorite people to spend time with on this earth.
Right. But you don't want to spend time with them. You'd rather go spend time with the Minotaur that I regularly have workplace conflicts with.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I think, I don't know, in the time that you were like, frozen. Remember when that happened?
Yeah, well, I kind of just got out of cryo sleep.
Right. There's just a lot of weird things happened that I've been trying to figure out, and I don't want to go into the details of it. It's probably nothing.
Right.
But in case it is something, and in case that something is deeply cursed, I don't really want to like expose people to that until I figure out what's going on. So it's not that I don't want to be in wild things. It's mostly that I worry if we leave the things untended to, they're going to become a problem.
Can I pitch you wild things and see if I can, like, sway you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what is this art going to be?
Okay. Well, it's called Wild Things. Unprepared Casters : Wild Things.
I've learned this much.
It's going to be using a new system that we haven't used before. We're going kids on bikes. You heard of it?
I have. I have been a kid on a bike. I was a teen on a bike.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh, well, this one's just kids.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Kids on bikes. It's written by Hunter's Entertainment. It uses all the dice. You roll all the kinds of dice, the 20s. The 12s, the 10s, the 8s, the 6s, the 4s. They're all in there.
Because, I mean, you do that in D&D, right? How is it different?
Well, all the characters have one die per stat. So, like, if you're the best at charm, you're going to have a D20 in charm. But let's say you really suck at fighting, you're going to have a D4 in fight. And then it's a... Yeah. It's a spectrum in there, which gets very funny when people try to do things and then realize they have literally no shot in the entire world, unless their dice explode, of course.
You have to blow up your dice?
You could, I guess, if you get really frustrated. But let's say you suck at fight, right? And you have a D4 in fight, and you say, I'm going to go punch the Minotaur. This is unrelated to anything we've been discussing.
Yeah, this is why there's a workplace dispute happening here. You can't talk about... Okay, fine.
You want to punch the Minotaur, but it's really hard to punch the Minotaur. And so the person running the game says, you need to get at least a 10. So DC 10 to punch the Minotaur, but all you have is a D4, a four-sided die. How could this be?
That's impossible.
If you roll a 4, it's not. Because if you roll a 4, your dice explodes, which means you get to roll it again. And then if you roll another 4, it explodes again. So you got a 4 plus a 4, and it could explode forever. That's 4 plus 4 is 8 for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of really good at math.
You are. Could explode forever. But it stops exploding as soon as you stop rolling the top number.
Yeah, statistically, it won't explode forever, yeah.
But who needs statistics?
So the difficulty numbers are pretty fixed across the game as far as what's easy and what's difficult. But how poorly you are at it.
Drastically different character to character, yes. That's the system that we're using. It's kids on bikes. It's not very crunchy. I know you guys did a lot of crunch last time with Tales of the Valiant.
Yeah.
We're very used to crunch with D&D. That's just a system with a lot of mechanics, a lot of numbers, a lot of math. There is math involved in Kids on Bikes. It's just less so. It's a little more roleplay forward, characterization forward than something like your Dungeons and Dragons, something like your Valiant Tales.
Now, it's interesting that these kids are on bikes to me because I'm imagining the world of Unprepared Casters. It's very fantasy. generally. Yeah. It's very mm-hmm. space. We haven't done anything where I think bicycles exist. Mm. So is this in Hyrenor or Malum or Vestir?
This arc is set in Nebraska.
Could you repeat that word for me again?
This arc is set in Nebraska.
The Kingdom of Nebraska.
The United States of America.
Oh.
And in so the 21st are we, century.
So is like actual Nebraska canon to UC, or is this a separate, like...
This arc is fully canon to Unprepared Casters and the entire world therein.
And it's set in Nebraska.
And it is set in Nebraska. Listen, it'll eventually all make sense.
Do I have to listen to the arc to find out?
I just need everybody with me here for a second. Mm-hmm. It'll all make sense. But don't worry, the arc is set in Nebraska.
Why Nebraska?
It's where bikes are.
Can't argue with that, I fucking guess.
They got a lot of bikes in Nebraska, don't they?
Sure.
They're all playing teenagers. They are playing teens. They're not playing kids. They've all chosen to play teens. Actually, like, in the teen range as well. And they're all going to be on bikes in Nebraska.
So it's like a little, like, Tour de France situation. Tour de Nebraska.
Tour de Nebraska. Nailed it in one.
Yep. Listen, when you strike gold, you do keep digging, but you dig out all the gold and then you stop.
Yeah, well, you gotta make sure you get all of it.
Right.
That's what we're doing here. What else do we need? Oh, context. You guys heard of Nebraska?
I have. I Great. Can't speak for everybody else.
Oh, well, you never heard of Nebraska. It's in the Midwestern United States.
Capital is Lincoln.
I believe it's Omaha.
No, Omaha. God damn. Yeah, it is Omaha. They've got corn. Nebraska's Cornhuskers, yeah?
Yes, it is.
Got them.
Crushed it. Crushed
it. I got the important part. It's the sports.
It's the sports. We're going to be in a small town in Nebraska, a small fictional town in real Nebraska. And it's canon. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know anything about UC. Some things...
Might Lincoln is up. The capital of Nebraska.
Is it?
Oh, it is Lincoln.
I'm so sorry, Nebraska. I failed you.
You set a whole arc in Nebraska and you didn't even know the capital.
I know. I'm so sorry. I was just in Omaha recently, so I believe that's probably what got me. Just got a tattoo there.
I just feel really strongly about knowing every single state's capital.
No, and that's valid. And I'm sorry that I doubted you even once.
It's okay. But yeah, sorry. Continue.
No, you're good. That's about all I've got. Have I sold you on giving up on your weird map quest to come play in Nebraska as a teen with me?
It's not that I don't want to explore the depths, the ins and outs of whatever mystery exists in Nebraska.
Right. Whole new system. You can still use all your dice. Whole new system. Hunter's Entertainment. Kids on bikes.
Yeah,
some of your favorite people all in one room.
And it's hard because I'm not in the arc. And it's so hard for me to have a canonical reason why, other than I didn't want to, like, tell you this because I thought you were going to react weird.
Okay.
There is, like, what I would describe has perhaps an ominous whispering voice.
You should really check out the labyrinth. It's super cool, no cap.
That says, I really, really should check out the labyrinth. And I realized you weren't hearing the voice.
Are you getting Elsa from Frozen 2?
Unfamiliar with the film. What's Elsa?
You're getting Frozen 2'd right here in my podcast. In my labyrinth.
Hey, I watched all of Frozen 2. Didn't retain a single thing once I realized she wasn't gay with that one girl.
You know, that's fair. She hears a voice that calls her out into the unknown, as it were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do know that song. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting Frozen 2'd here.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it's just, it's really, really compelling.
Okay. So you're getting frozen too'd to go deeper into the labyrinth.
Deeper into the labyrinth. I think it'll turn out well for everyone.
Right.
May or may not have been promised secret power. I think that's exciting.
Okay. And here's the thing is, I would never hold you back.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be really... keep you from your truth.
Well, and also people just keep complaining about not being able to like having to go through the whole labyrinth to get to the studio. So I do think just mapping it out would also just make it easier to navigate.
I don't think it's that hard. I think people like are fine.
Well, I mean, I think they can do it, but I think it's about like the convenience. You know, we're asking people to like give up their time, and they only get paid when they're on the clock. They don't get paid for however many minutes or hours they spend wandering.
Transit? You never get paid for the commute.
Yeah, it's just our commute is like very specifically a labyrinth.
Yeah?
It just could
I
be
guess.
Nice. And,
I guess.
You know, fire. Well, I've been watching all those fire safety TikToks. You know how it is. I think it'd be good to have a clear idea of the emergency exit.
Fine. Okay. So you're going to go make a map.
I'm going to miss out on Nebraska. I feel like, look, I don't want to disparage the experiences of other states on the Great Plains, but I imagine it can't be like that much different from what I experience in my day to day, you know? More corn for sure.
I guess you'll never know.
You can let me know.
Maybe. If you ever come back.
I will come back.
You'll come
back.
And
I'll be more strong and powerful than ever.
I hope so. I do hope so. I trust you and I believe in you.
Means world.
And that's all of it.
Okay.
Okay. Do you need anything before you go? Do you need to like pack you a sandwich or something?
I mean, if you're going to offer me a sandwich, I'll take a sandwich.
Yeah. No, I packed one for me, but I'm not about to go into the depths of the labyrinth. So
yeah,
you can take it instead.
Don't worry. I got this spool of thread, so I should be able to find my way back.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, I'll pop in if I can.
Okay, hey, you're always welcome. Bye, Mills.
Bye.
Did you all find your way through the labyrinth okay?
It's different.
And you know, I've been telling you to fire that fucking dinosaur that lives down there.
Dinosaur?
The Minotaur?
The Minotaur?
My friend, the Minotaur?
Of course you're friends with him. Of course.
They've, like, been making out, Dylan and the Minotaur.
I know.
Well, Hills.
I thought that would maybe up the stakes for like Grace respect.
Not in front of everybody. We're only making out a little bit, and it's like as friends, it's cool. It's like not even a big deal, and I don't care.
You're being very defensive. I never said it wasn't as friends.
Is Nick with you?
Yeah.
The thing is I thought I would go for a whole thread situation, so I tied my shoelaces together and I was using that to lead the way, but my shoelaces aren't that long. And so every single time I'd get to the end of the length of my shoelaces, I'd turn around and go, darn it. And then I'd go a different way. I haven't gotten far. I've gotten the length of two shoelaces tied together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the good news is we put the recording studio, the recording space, really close to the entrance.
Yeah, I know. So it was two away. Actually how I found it was...
you measured it.
Yeah, it was two shoelaces away. Sometimes I'll take a pencil and I'll mark where the two shoelaces went and then I'll continue.
Oh, that's wise.
Yeah, I thought about dragging the pencil behind me to guide my way a bit like the thread, but I kept walking back and scuffing up the lead.
Oh, yeah,
kind of messing up the line.
Then the dinosaur was there.
The Minotaur carried us, Grace. The Minotaur carried us to the studio, and this is how you treat him?
He's so nice and great.
Wait, he's a Minotaur? I thought he was just in West Hollywood. Like, I thought he was just a bear. Like, no, I love a good bear. I'm so sorry. I feel bad.
No, he's like a full
It's dark
Minotaur.
In the
It
in
is.
The
it is.
And I don't know why you guys don't invest in more lighting.
I think maybe after Mills is done with the map making and things, we might put up like some sconces.
And I left my LED lights for my PC setup at home.
Oh, you should have tied those to your shoes as well.
It wouldn't have helped directionally, huge. But it would be a good vibe.
Yeah, it would have been like light up, like when the stomp light ups, but they're always lighted up.
This labyrinth is going to look like a fucking college town by the time I'm done with it. Every window, bright pink.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly,
can
I can't wait.
Can we get the LED lights from TikTok 2020?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yep. Yep. Those exact ones. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Now that you're all here making renovation suggestions for my recording labyrinth.
Maybe I can get a dog instead of a minotaur.
Hey, the minotaur Grace. Came with the lab. We didn't get the minotaur. He came
Grace.
With the labyrinth.
It's Wait, his is on, labyrinth.
Is he on the lease?
Are they renting it from him or what?
No, okay. So we own the labyrinth, but he was already living here. And now he works for unprepared casters.
Yeah.
Is he making a living wage?
Of course.
Okay, people ask me this all the time about the minotaur, and I like
economy?
Really don't understand why that's your business.
Well, it's my business because I want to make sure that the business I'm working for is for the people and Minotaur.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. He gets a livable wage. He and I really have hashed things out. We had a tense working relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's because I brought the labyrinth to space without asking him.
Yeah, he
so
talks about
he maybe
that.
Maybe asked for some extra compensation and also warnings about major moves with the labyrinth, and we're getting it all figured out and everything's fine.
But like, who are you to decide what a livable wage is? What's the...
He and I have had negotiations.
Okay.
What livable wages
for the labyrinth?
Grace.
What's the average GDP of a labyrinth?
Yeah.
We don't support AI usage here. I just need to say that.
Yeah, we don't. We don't.
Anyway, now that you're all here making renovation suggestions and digging into the pay structure of my business... I was wondering if we could maybe have you introduce yourself to the audience as well. Where you're being recorded.
Oh.
You're
it's
great.
Sort of continuous.
All right. So it's not just a visit. Oh, it's a work thing? Okay.
We're doing a work thing.
Oh, we're doing a work thing? Okay.
Yeah. No, and like we're friends, but also...
But also, this is, we're business friends.
I'll send my hours to
we're
the
We're business
Minotaur.
Friends, and this is my office.
Yeah.
So if we don't mind, we could all maybe do some introductions so they know who they're listening to, who's being surveilled.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could do that.
I appreciate the openness and willingness. Thank you all so much for joining me for this brand new arc of Unprepared Casters. This arc is going to be called Wild Things. You knew that already.
Woo!
And it is going to be only three of you, only three players on this one. And to introduce yourself to the audience. When it's your turn, you're going to say your name, you're going to say pronouns you'd like used for you, and you are going to answer a random icebreaker question that I found on a website called 105 Icebreaker Questions for Teens.
Nice. Love that.
So I have a list here. You're all going to get a different one.
Fun.
It's different from usual because these are all pretty short icebreaker questions for teens. I guess I'll just go first by telling you, hello, my name is Haley Whipjack. I've been here almost the whole time, and you can use any pronouns for me that you would like. Should I pick a question for me?
Yes.
Of course.
I guess. I'll just take the first one off the list, which is, would you rather pet a shark or stare down a tiger? And the answer is stare down a tiger. You can do that safely.
You're joking.
You're
Here's the thing, Grace.
Kidding
I do
me.
Love a shark, but if I'm trying to think of my own physical bodily safety... I've stared
you
down
can
tiger.
Just push
I
a shark's nose away.
I worked at zoo.
There's no glass here, Haley.
Sharks
That's
don't
not
even
stated in the question.
Sharks don't even have arms. You're gonna lose to something with no arms.
I'm not fighting either of them. I'm just trying to make the best possible situation for myself and my
You're
safety.
You're looking a tiger in the eyes and expecting to walk away.
I have looked a tiger in the eyes.
What?
They made a song about it, huh? No.
Yeah, I wrote a song about it. And lately it's been getting added to a lot of workout jams playlists. So it really seems like everybody's enjoying it.
Lord. All right, well, enjoy your mall to death vacation tiger.
This is an aggressive energy to begin. Grace, why don't you go next, hon? Who are you?
Hi, my name's Grace. My pronouns are she, her.
Would you like your icebreaker question?
Something else?
I'm going to ask you an icebreaker question if you're ready for it. Are you more like a bird or a squirrel?
Wow. Well, okay, here's the crazy thing about this.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad there's a crazy thing about it.
What could it possibly be? What,
can you tell us the normal thing about it after?
Yeah.
It's only... So, interestingly enough, today I was listening to that song, I'm Like a Bird.
Nelly Furtado.
Nelly Furtado, yeah.
Yeah. But we all took that trip in fifth grade to Washington, D.C.
No.
And had our little digital camera with us.
Okay.
The only thing I took pictures of was the squirrels in front of the White House because they were so fat and, like, just odd.
They're
they
fat.
They were so, like, big.
Yeah, they're very
they're
big.
They're huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful. I don't know. Like, I think I would love to be a squirrel that's just living at the White House, not with the current president, obviously.
Sure.
But just well-maintained yard, and people come and, like, take pictures of me.
And then you get lots of food scraps, snacks,
scraps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd also really love to have wings.
Okay.
So it's the question was, are you more like... So, like, currently,
yeah, not
right
like,
now,
would you rather be?
Would you consider yourself to be more birdish or more squirrelish?
Great question. I think
you're answering like
so
a politician.
I think I'd rather, or I think I'm more like, I don't know.
Are you up for election? This is crazy.
Can you just give me a minute?
You've had multiple.
I'm more like... I think I'm more like a bird because I travel a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I move to different states.
Mm-hmm.
And in North Carolina, we have a lot of birds. Our state bird is the robin. Or, no, it's the cardinal. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. That's so embarrassing.
The square.
That's really
so embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
How could you mess that up? That's.
Can I go again?
No.
Oh, my God.
You've been going enough, I fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'm like a bird.
Because you only fly away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks.
Dylan.
Hello, I'm Dylan. My pronouns are your pronouns, so just mirror them back when you talk about me. And yeah, that's it. What's my question? Give me my thing.
Here's your icebreaker question from the list of 105 icebreaker questions for teens. It is, what is better than sliced bread?
Oh, like most things. Like so... Just so many things. A cold beer.
Mm.
A little smooch.
Mm.
The Grace's laugh. Most things.
Oh my God.
Her avian little chuckle.
I'm blushing.
Avian chuckle. Her not at all squirrel-like
so
chuckle.
Like.
How does a bird laugh?
It's kind of scary, actually. How big it is.
That was really good. That was really good. I feel like there's a bird here with us.
Yeah.
Nick.
It's me.
Yeah. Can you stop that?
Who are you? Nick.
Yeah. What are any of us really? I'm Nick. Hi. It's been said, it's been thought, it's been wondered. But I'm Nick. my pronouns. They, he, some days.
Thank you.
He, they, other days. You know, squirrel bird. yeah. What's my, let's break some ice.
Here's your icebreaker question. What is between here and there?
What website is it from? What was the website?
Oh, it is from 105 Icebreaker Questions for Teens.
Okay.
What is between here and there?
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, a couple of things. Like here, right here, right now is the present. There is the future. So whatever you would put between now and later.
Like the candy?
Sure.
There's like wrappers in between them, I think.
No, I think now and laters are just in a like raw dog in a cardboard box. Aren't they?
Whoa. Oh, deeply Whoa. Upsetting, actually.
I think they're just like touching each other. They're touching each other's nows and laters in the box.
Oh my gosh. The pinks, I think that's the greens.
Between, yeah, I think that's what's between here and there. It's now and laters touching.
It's now and laters touching.
Raw dog in a cardboard box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm shaking that shit up. I ain't gonna lie. I'm
you rattled. Have to, otherwise they get stuck.
Yeah, I'm rattling. Yeah,
they fuse.
I actually pour them all out, wrap them, and then put them back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very kind of you.
Well, it's to prevent any unwanted pregnancies.
Oh, that's still very kind of you. I think
that's how you get Mike and Ike's.
Yeah. No, Mike and Ike's. Mike is infertile.
Oh, that's so sad.
Didn't you hear?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he posted about it on Facebook last week. Yeah.
Okay, he and I are not that close.
Yeah, no, I GIF reacted to it with the plural, like all like the whole crowd all doing the
forehead
thing.
You can't GIF react to these things.
But do you know what? They've really stuck together, those two.
They really are.
They have.
But I thought I could because he used his Bitmoji to announce it. It was his Bitmoji going like this, and over it said, "Oops, I'm infertile."
Grace is in tears.
Are you really upset
literally
about the
crying.
Mike and Ike?
I'm sure Mike and Ike are also in tears. Yeah, they're in
Grace
tears.
Is quite literally crying.
Infertility is no joke, Grace.
Please calm down, Grace.
I know.
That boy's balls don't work, IVF. Grace.
I support IVF.
That wasn't in question.
No, it really wasn't.
It's okay.
No. Sorry, guys. It's just so late.
How late is it, Grace?
It's 10:47 p.m.
Can you imagine being awake at 10:47 p.m.?
Crazy.
She doesn't have to. It's happening.
That's reality.
I'm living it.
Can you imagine what we're putting Grace through right now? It's 10:47 p.m.
And we've
Mike
only
and
begun to
away.
Bit.
Yeah. That's my thing, is that this whole cast, it's just me, Dylan, Nick, and Haley. And they're the most bitty people in the world.
There's no adults in the room.
Dylan, itty, I'm bitty.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it.
I have a picture of Dylan and Nick terrorizing me in the dead of night. Nick's holding a cold beer.
Dylan's surely it's warm.
Halfway up my bed.
I forgot about that picture.
We're staring at her while she... Mm-hmm. While she tries to drown us out with her sound machine, and we stare over her bed like her sleep paralysis demons.
Mm-hmm. Chat, remind me, and I'll send the pic when this releases.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, chat.
August 11th.
August 11th, Grace. Put it in the G-Cal.
Oh, fuck my G-Cal.
My fucking G-Cal.
We are here to do a podcast.
Oh. Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. I can't wait to do it someday.
We're here to record a podcast. A TTRPG podcast, even, if you can believe it, an actual play. We are going to be playing Kids on Bikes,
Woo!
Which we have never played on this show before. We've never played any of the Kids on systems, so I'm actually very excited to bring it in.
I don't think my character knows how to ride a bike.
Okay.
That's okay.
Good.
The game can still be called Kids on Bikes. Maybe you'll just ride on somebody else's handlebars.
Kids walking with bikes.
kids walking bikes. Which means, dear listener, we are playing in the human world that you are familiar with and not our usual fantasy setting. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it too hard. They're in Nebraska. and I've written a brief little tone setting, place setting monologue for you. If you wouldn't mind.
Give it to me.
Okay. Boom, blast. Thunder rolls in fast. A town alone in the empty plains, barely taller than the cornstalks that threaten to swallow it whole. There's a storm brewing above, a green tinge to the infinite skies. Boom, zap, just a dot on the map. A triumph by name and an empty void by execution. Filled with people who are happy to live in the only world they know, because if they were not happy, it would not be much of a world at all. Boom, pow, don't blink now. The stars blink out behind heavy clouds, leaving just the artificial light to spill across streets worn and tired. A grocery store, a library, a used car dealership, a bowling alley. Boom, clatter, the pins all scatter. It sounds like thunder. It sounds like boom, clatter, the pins all scatter. The Pinstripes Bowling Alley is aglow and a flutter. It is full of people alive and intricate. It feels already long forgotten. Boom, clatter, the pins all scatter. There's something coming. It's just hoping someone notices. Boom, clatter, the pins all scatter. And that's your monologue.
Yay!
That was so good.
I like when it rhymes.
Story bowling time. Alley heavy.
I like when it rhymes. Yeah, I like that part.
There were people trying to make me make the whole thing rhyme, and I said no.
Tell those people.
Shut up.
Don't listen to them.
This is going to be a bowling alley heavy one, I think, based on the discussions we've had
please.
As a group.
I'm working on my form right now.
I don't know how to bowl.
Maybe we'll go bowling at Gen Con.
I bet you're weirdly naturally good at it without having to try.
Yeah. That feels right. Mm-hmm.
I did go once with Gus and I did get strikes the whole time.
Wait, we have been bowling together. Hang on. We've been bowling. I was there.
Wait, when?
It was in Chicago. We were with Gus.
Oh, I went in Savannah, too.
And I have pictures.
You've been bowling so many times, haven't you?
At a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never bowled before.
I have been bowling.
It's actually that she just temporarily forgot what bowling was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just really late, guys.
Oh, like bowling with the balls? I thought you were talking about
bowling.
Oh, my
God.
All right.
Jesus. Okay, so all three of you are playing teens from the town of Triumph, Nebraska.
Yeah.
A beautiful, dying little town in the middle of nowhere. And that's really all you've ever known on account of how you're teens. But you're all playing different types of teens, different ages of teens, teens with different wants and desires. Who would like to introduce their teen first? Dylan?
Hello.
Hit me with your teen.
I would never do that. That's violence against children.
Oh, no. Can we not do that in this arc?
No, no. We specifically can. We said green out loud in unison when we talked about
minors
it.
Minors in danger.
We said, yes, please. I am going to be playing Sawyer, who is 17 years old and works in this here bowling alley. Sawyer's pronouns are she, her, because she hasn't had time to figure that out yet. Sawyer has been a young provider, meaning that she's got this part-time job at the bowling alley and has had it for years, basically her whole teenage life, to help support her family at home. And while she's here, she also is kind of taking care of all of the wayward riffraff and kids who are causing problems and trouble in the alleys here at the bowling alley. Her experience as a young provider has left her with some good skills for sure. In fact, she is really cool under pressure because oftentimes kids get into little scrapes and things or accidentally hit each other with bowling balls, and you really can't lose your cool about that. You gotta be good. and she is also skilled at bowling. Because she's been working here for years. But it also has some drawbacks. She's definitely got some flaws. One of those flaws is that she is super hypervigilant, and deeply insecure.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I can't be non-binary. I'm too busy for all that. Haven't gotten around to it.
I got other things to think about.
I got bigger fish to fry, brother.
Wait, how old is Sawyer again?
Sawyer is 17 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. They have to wear pinstripes, I've been told. And I am imagining...
Only at work.
Only at work. But I'm imagining it's like one of those pinstripe, like, dress uniforms. And brother, I'll tell you what, she is not wearing it in a way that fits well. Like, it's like... it's like a little bit too big, and it's sort of, like, bunched in places. And she's got, like, part of it scrunched up with a fanny pack. Yeah.
What does she look like?
Yeah, I was going to ask, can we get a brief physical description on Sawyer?
Oh, you sure can. This is a delightfully plain Jane young lady with kind of very, like, way too many bags under her eyes to be a 17-year-old girl. And very importantly, has like very long, like deep brown hair that is like in parts straight, in parts a little bit curly. She has not like bothered to put time into figuring out how to take care of it or like what direction to put it in. And so it is always pulled back under a bandana, and then whatever's happening in the back is none of her business.
Yeah, it's all the way over there.
It's all the way, it's behind her. She can't see any of that. So
yeah.
What's the point? And she's average height. So a good 5 inches taller than Dylan is what I would say. She's a nice average height, an average lass.
just the normal kind.
The normal kind. Normal kind of girl.
The height you would
shelves.
Expect out of height.
Yeah. Something you would be like, that's a person.
Oh, Dylan.
Yeah.
Nobody's height. Using them
Dylan's
as an armrest.
Yeah.
Hided.
Here we go!
Oh my god, he threw,
here
he
we
threw
go!
The chair. He threw the chair.
And now he's getting it back
all
because
right.
We're gonna have to sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
You look out of the window and you see a Toyota Previa upside down on fire.
Oh my god. Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It's fine. It's not fine to me, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Dynamite headbutt.
He screams as he headbutts this man.
Honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh, and if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, yeah, it is just absolutely horrifying.
For some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man. But anyway, boom! Smashed in the head.
Bodhi has a pocket full of like one oversized precious moment angel that has a real strange face.
Oh, I thought that was your dick.
Oh, it was his dick. There's a hole in his pocket and his penis, which does resemble a precious moment angel with a strange face.
Oh, it's a strange face, but it actually looks like a pretty normal penis head.
And that's what we call facts.
He looks back and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing to the bar.
I'm gonna. And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get blown off, flying off his head.
Ah! Bye-bye.
And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy! Headbutt! Dynamite headbutt!
Something is rising, piecing itself together from the bodies and viscera around it. Its black wings spread, and it looks back at you with red, wet eyes.
Gutter.
I have a couple of questions I would like to ask you about Sawyer.
I love that. Ask him.
Specific to the young provider trope that you've chosen. For the audience, if they don't know, Kids on Bikes characters get to choose a trope that determines the type of die that goes with each of their stats. So, like, Sawyer, as a young provider, your highest stat is your grit, or, like, your emotional fortitude. And your lowest stat, your D4, is in flight, which is your dexterity, sort of.
Yeah.
Which I guess, I don't know which of those is bowling. What's the bowling stat?
I think bowling is pure brawn, I would say.
I was going to say brawn.
Yeah.
I could have argued for brains almost because of the, like, angles.
Oh, like, if you are, like, good at the mathematics of rolling the ball. I will tell you, I think that some people are. I don't think that's Sawyer.
No, so fair. Sawyer bowls with the brawn stat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Noted. But also with these tropes, there are some questions specific to the trope to help kind of define the character.
Great.
And the first question for Young Provider is, how has working to support your family improved you as a person?
Sawyer is great at just via, like, working a job so long in such a developmental period of time, is so good at talking to people, at, like, managing crises, and particularly with adults. She's better than other teens and kids in her age range at dealing with adults and their issues, which, like, can be a burden, but is a really good way to get the things that you need and want in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. You're every teacher's favorite kid.
Oh, yeah.
Teacher's pet.
Oh, for sure.
Not even teacher's pet.
Teacher's favorite.
But, like, yeah. Teacher's favorite.
Yeah.
Those are different.
I was never either of those.
Sawyer's not being, like, a suck-up. Sawyer's stopping in after school to be like, hey, that thing you mentioned offhand, is that going okay?
Yeah. We're like...
Like, not about my grades, not about the subject. Like, you as a person, you doing all right? You feeling good?
Does Sawyer have friends they sit with at lunch?
Weird question, because does Sawyer have people she sits with at lunch? Absolutely. Are they friends? Probably not. It's probably a collection of, like, it's probably you two occasionally, or maybe one or two of you, and other kids that she occasionally finds herself responsible for. But, like, different than friends necessarily.
Got ya.
Sawyer doesn't have peers necessarily.
Yeah.
And then I have another question for Sawyer as well. Your
Brilliant.
Second one. What have you had to give up for your family?
So much time. And so much time that could have been spent wasted. And I don't just mean drunk. Also mean like just doing nothing, fucking around, trying something, playing a 68-hour video game. You know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. those are kinds of things that she probably would like, but well, that'll have to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. God, college is gonna hit Sawyer like a train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There might be a couple of arrests. Yeah.
And we love that for her.
Yeah.
Can I just say?
Yeah, she'll level out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. She's got a...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a Rumspringa.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Anything else you'd like to say right now about Sawyer before we move on to another member of our ragtag crew?
Are we doing fears after everybody? Or are we doing fears now?
Let's do fears after.
Yeah, love that.
And then we can maybe see if you guys have fears that play off of each other.
Gorgeous.
And if you don't, that's also fine. Nick, tell me about your teen.
He's Bertram the Third. His friends call him Bert. His enemies call him Rum. He doesn't have many enemies. Because to him, they're beneath him. Because if you don't like Bert, that's on you.
Yeah.
Bert's a scrappy young lad. Wears the same zip-up hoodie every single day, typically open, sometimes closed. Always has the same backpack that he's had since he was 8, which beautifully depicts it is a knockoff of Spider-Man and Lightning McQueen on it. He does not like Spider-Man nor Lightning McQueen anymore, but the backpack's pretty spacious. And he hasn't wanted to get another one. Can fit a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Spends a lot of time at the bowling alley, bothering Sawyer and pining after the name I have not heard yet from Grace. trying to make more friends by carrying around a piece of scotch tape wrapped up in the shape of a quarter and scamming the business that Sawyer works at by putting said tape quarter into the machines, the arcade machines, and sometimes will go to the back behind the pins, and anytime someone gets a spare with one left, he will stick his shoe in and kick it over. That's how he spends his time. And then he loudly proclaims, "It's a strike."
Can we get a brief physical description of Bertram the Third?
Yeah, Bertram, 14, prior to growth spurt, prior puberty started, so it's a whole lot of but not a lot of you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So prior to the growth spurt, he got the same bowl cut until he was 13, and then said that he could do it himself. So now he's got bowl cut bangs, but a sort of shag in the back. And he occasionally shortens them, but he learned his lesson once he shortened them too much. And someone said he had cunty little bangs, and he did not know what that meant. So he started letting them grow out again. But he saw the way that people would style it, and so he keeps pushing them back, but they inevitably go back to bowl cut vibes. Again, wears the same little zip-up hoodie every day. He's missing his front right canine on the top because of biting into an apple that and it was very embarrassing. So he tells people that it was in a fight.
And everyone believes him.
Everyone believes me because I do attempt to start many fights. I never have them.
Yeah.
Never have them. But anytime someone comes into the bowling alley and is weird, or after adult hours starts getting a little too drunk, I look at Sawyer and say, I'll take care of him. And then I...
No, you...
Why are you at adult
hours? I don't want you to take care of it. I want you to go home.
Okay. And I want to have $1 million. We can't always get what we want, Sawyer. So
I'm going to go fist fight this grown-up.
I don't fist fight them. I bother them enough. I steal their bowling ball and put it like six lanes down because I'm in the back. Or like, so when it goes into the suppository, the depository for the track, I will take it off of the track and then they'll say, where is my bowling ball? And I'll have it. And I'll also... Anytime they're about to get a strike, I'll steady the pins.
That one
that always wobbles, and you're like, oh my god, it's going to be a strike. You just see a small little hand grab it like this.
Thank God we're the only bowling alley in three parishes.
I'm formerly a pastor's son. Formerly? My dad had too many DUIs. On his fourth, they said, come on. And he did. He went on. Yeah. He get. His mom works at the grocery store, the Dollar General that's down the way. And so I hang out that late because she's not off work yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just you and your mom these days?
No, I've got an older brother who is... Okay. Quite a bit older. He's around, 24, 25. He's gone off to college, and now he lives in the big city. I don't know what city. I just keep getting told
Omaha?
He lives in the big city.
Joe, just one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, and every time I ask, he's worried that I'm going to try to show up. Because I'm the type of kid that he's I live in Omaha now, and I don't want to live in...
Triumph.
I was about to say ambush. I don't know why. Triumph, Nebraska. I don't want to live there anymore. So he knows that if he tells me, I'll just show up and be like,
yeah.
Where are you at?
Yeah, there's very few things that would qualify as nearby, but the big city. Mm-hmm. But none of them are a place that we should let Bertram go unsupervised.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Alone. Beautiful. What trope did you choose for Bertram?
That's a good question. I had the answer. And I lost it. I'm pretty sure it was sidekick.
I believe sidekick. It was funny sidekick.
Funny sidekick. Or something like that. Close.
I'm looking at one called funny sidekick.
Funny sidekick. Yep. I'm sure. That's the one.
Your highest stat, your D20, is in your charm.
Yes, it is.
And your lowest stat, your D4, I'm noticing, is in fight.
Who's asking?
You're right. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I forgive.
I've got these two questions to ask you as the funny sidekick, if you don't mind.
Ask away.
The first one is, what do you do? What does Bertram do that always lightens your friends' moods?
Steal stuff sometimes. I typically will steal things because I am funny, but I've always been told that think of yourself as funny as braggadocious.
Sure. And
so I will make jokes, but not to lighten the mood. I'll just like that all the time. But I'll typically steal things or help them with something I think they need help with, even if they don't need help.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally I'll grab the extra rag that Sawyer's using and start washing the other tables, but it's not a
that
clean
actually,
rag.
No, that has a... That's a mess rag. That's for the beer spills.
Yeah, we don't to wipe mirrors.
Yeah, okay.
I'm using it to wipe glass.
Okay. Yeah.
You being 14, because originally we were talking about you being 13. You being 14 is way funnier because you could be working at this point.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, the thing is I just turned 14 and I've dropped off my resume to Sawyer 8 or 9 times, but it's always handwritten.
Sawyer is also not in charge.
No, I know. And it's always a handwritten resume that says
that's
good at school.
That's so cute, though. That's so, my God.
Can I tell you something right now?
And I love the bowling alley.
Those resumes have not been turned in to the general manager, but they are hanging up in Sawyer's locker. Because they are so, it's so cute. They're all so sweet.
And so when I go home, I wonder.
There one day.
Yeah, I wonder what is wrong with my resumes. And so I'll constantly Google resumes and write down things that I see on Good Ones. But I didn't know that when they put the Greek script for the fill in, like you're supposed
lorem
to delete
ipsum.
The ill upsum.
Yeah.
So I'll just have skills lorem ipsum.
I don't know what that means, but everybody who's good at jobs is
I know.
Good at this.
Every resume I see says resume header, skills, lorem ipsum.
You're not asking your mother, who's gainfully employed, either. You're just Googling it. You don't want to bother her with this. I will say also the owner of the bowling alley is a mysterious and confusing man known as Johnny Tenpins.
Johnny Tenpins?
Johnny Tenpins. He used to have a real last name. Everyone's sure of it. No one actually knows what it was. Legally, on his license these days, it's Tenpins. I don't know if that's who your resume is supposed to go to, and I bet Sawyer doesn't either.
Nope, I just drop him off. And sometimes I'll just leave him in Sawyer's path, too. So
on the table.
Yeah, because obviously it's not working, so I thought like maybe if you happened upon one, it'd be like fate.
Oh, yeah. And then you have to hire me. I have another funny side quick question for you. Your second question. When does being in the sidekick role frustrate you?
When I know people need help and I am doing the thing that I think would help and they get upset with me.
Yeah.
Because I see them barreling towards a solid rock wall and I go, hey, that's going to hurt. And then they run into the rock wall. And that's when it gets frustrating. And I also get frustrated because at times I know I don't have to be the sidekick. I don't have to be the talk it out. I could fight that grown drunk man. But no one ever believes me. Right.
Yeah. Right. That's really sad, Bertram.
You choose to be the sidekick. It's not like that's the role that you have to be in.
It's a vocation.
Yeah.
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 A trade.
Well, yeah. It's. I mean,
go to
who
sidekick
else is
school.
Gonna do it?
Right.
We can't all be the cool guy. Some of us have to be the weird little henchman.
I accepted my fate.
It's really brave of you.
Thanks. Brave Bertram.
Anything else?
That's what they call him.
That's what they call me. Brave Bertram.
Holy shit.
Is there anything else you would like to share about Bertram at this moment before we move on to Gwace?
He's trying to learn Greek.
Nice.
So he can
nice.
Make his
just
better
for
resume.
Fun?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very important in the American workforce to know Greek.
At bowling alleys? Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God.
Grace, are you ready to introduce your teen?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Tell me about him.
My name's Grace, and I'll be playing Jeannie, or Jean, or Scooby. And she's a conspiracy theorist. She believes that the bowling alley is supremely haunted. There is a ghost in the bowling alley. Jeannie's there every day trying to figure it out. She got the nickname Scooby because I think she didn't talk until she was 6 years old, and the only thing she would say is Scooby-Doo. And so she watched a lot of Scooby-Doo as a small child. And I think her mom just started calling her Scooby. She didn't know her name.
Took her a long... Hey, listen, that's the thing with kids, though. If you only call them a nickname for a long time, of course that's what they think their name is.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was Dumb Bass. So sorry.
Yeah.
Nick, not now. So she is 15 and a half. She's almost 16. And wait, what do I say? What does she look like? You know, she's a spindly little teenager. She's got this long, thick, curly hair that's always in two Wednesday Addams braids.
Ugh.
And it's pink. And Haley was like, the whole town's going to be looking at you funny. She's not looking at the town. She's looking at the ghosts. Okay. Yeah, she spends most of her, you know, after school time at the bowling alley weekends. Sorry, guys, I'm so tired. At the bowling alley. And also Wednesdays.
It's cheaper on Wednesdays. They got, that's yeah, their they discount have the special. Night. Yeah.
She never actually plays. I don't think she knows how to bowl, though. I don't think she's ever done it. I think she just, like, signs up with Bertram. And he gets to roll every time. Yeah. She likes to go behind the pins and search around with her flashlight. I think it drives Sawyer up the fucking wall.
It does, because you keep getting stuck in there. You get stuck in the little bits, and then we have to shut down the entire lane. And then that gives more time for the leagues to get drunk. And so then by the time I get the alleys all opened back up again...
Yeah,
it's I have to rowdy. Fight someone. And then fight someone.
It's funny because Bertram goes back there all the time and never gets stuck.
I'm quick.
Talented. Jean's just so blinded by her knowledge of the fact that there are ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, you've said your trope. It's conspiracy theorist.
It is conspiracy theorist.
Your highest stat is your brains.
Mm-hmm.
And your lowest is your brawn.
I'm not very strong, which is why I keep getting stuck.
Yeah.
And then I think it's the ghost trapping me, trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
Oh, what are they
trying
to tell you?
Which makes it really infuriating when I'm trying to get you to come out and you're going,
don't free me. I'm close to an answer. I'm having a revelation here.
Sawyer has the worst fucking
Leave
life
me here.
In the whole world. Sawyer's life blows, dude.
Hey, gang, I'm in pinstripes again. I have a bad job again.
What could happen next? Hopefully no train.
You wait, I'm going to put that motherfucker on a train. Would you like your trope-specific questions to answer quick
here,
Gracie?
Yeah, I'd love that. I would really like it.
Question one, and I think we might already know the answer to this one. What do you think is happening in the town that no one else knows about?
There is an eldritch being or ghost haunting the town. It wants to be free. It's trapped somewhere. Nobody believes me. We have to free it, and then we'll, like, discover, like, the land of gold or something. We'll be rewarded.
El Dorado.
If we find the ghost.
Yeah. That's what most eldritch beings are known for doing, by the way. They give you lots of gold.
Grant us one wish.
Yeah, like leprechauns and genies.
Yeah.
Here's your second question, then. How far will you go to prove that you're right?
Well, she'll get trapped in the bowling alley mechanism multiple times a week.
And I'll leave little clues. And I'll leave little clues to make you...
Bertram is making this worse.
Yeah,
right?
Feeding the delusion.
Yeah.
I'll make the lights flicker and then, you know, mm-hmm. I'll take paint that I get from the Dollar General and write on the walls. And
write a little message. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So... How far will I go? How far it takes, you know? Mm-hmm. So far, it's taken me to the back of the bowling alley to be stuck in the pins. I don't think a 16 or 15, 16-year-old has a great view of what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you haven't found your
doing
line
the same
yet,
thing.
Is what we're saying.
I haven't. I'm searching
yeah,
for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We'll find your line together, I
yeah.
think.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We'll figure it
Haley's
out.
Haley's always treated me really well. My character has never been, like, gone through something so
Whoa.
Scary before.
Whoa.
So I'm excited to see what happens this time.
When have I ever wronged you?
Oh,
Exactly. Exactly. You can't name one time.
Not even one. Those are answers. Am I supposed to say my fear?
We were going to get into fears now that we've got everybody.
Yes.
So we've got Gene. We've got Sawyer. We've got Bertram. Sorry, do we call him Bert? What do you want me to call him?
The third?
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, what do you think Sawyer? What do you think Sawyer calls him?
You call me Bertram. Sawyer, you Bertram. Actually call me Bertram.
I call you by your government name, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it's mostly because I want to be... I'm okay with that because you've seen my resume so many times. You know me officially.
Yeah.
And anytime Jeannie calls me Bertram, my heart breaks a little bit.
I think I mostly call you Birdie.
Yeah, you call me Birdie, and it makes me feel like your little brother, and it breaks me. Anytime I hear, oh, hey, Birdie, how is school? I'm like, the pins. I'm the ball. I'm the pin. My heart is the pin, and her words are the ball. And she got a strike.
Writing poetry about it.
She got a strike. Yeah, yes.
It's all bowling-themed.
It's all bowling.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I write them in between the pages of my various fantasy books that I like to read. I'll write mm-hmm. the poems that I will never let anyone see.
Oh, bless. So fears in Kids on Bike. Fears are important to establish because they can affect you mechanically. So I do want us to know what you're all afeared of. And fears are changeable. It's very possible that if something happens that you in game that you think deeply affects your character, you might say, I'm now very afraid of this thing related to that mm-hmm. traumatic incident. And then you can add a fear. Or you can also overcome fears, but that's less sexy when you think about it.
Sure.
I'm always saying that.
I know that Grace has determined a fear for her character. Grace, do you want to tell yours?
Yes, my fear, Jean's fear, is ghosts not being real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that
and
does sound terrifying, actually.
Proving ghosts are real.
Yeah.
I mean, that just boils down to your fear is that you're... Hand. Wrong, right?
That you're
the
wrong.
One thing you deeply believe in
mm-hmm.
is that
I think
everybody
she's
else
like
is
afraid
right.
of reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody who's telling you this thing you're doing is dumb and wrong, they were right the whole time.
They were right the whole time.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
That's a nightmare.
Real teenage horror right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Grace is going to crush the feeling of teenage angst and drama.
We got it in here. Yep.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And the it's interesting when we're talking about fears for teens in particular, because that is when those kinds of fears are starting to become
existentialism.
Yeah, the more abstract, the more existential. Because kids are afraid of very concrete things for the most part. Or even if they're not concrete, they're very simple, like the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then grown-ups is when you're afraid of the debt and capitalism and your life being meaningless. And so I think that's the Hat Man as well. But so I do think that's a good kind of in-between point almost.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like it.
It's childlike and a little bit like real. So
it's starting to gain that awareness of
mm-hmm.
starting to wake up
mm-hmm.
to the ghosts.
Yeah. So my fear is a Jack and Coke, and I'm overcoming it. conquering
exposure
my fears.
Therapy.
Yeah.
I do. Sawyer's fear is being seen as her true self. She is living in a little bit of like a uncomfortable bliss in that none of this has to affect her. She doesn't have to deal with the fact that she doesn't really know who or what she is outside of her job and what she does for the kids and her family and all of that. And I think the most terrifying thing in the world would be if someone else were to clock it before she has a chance to figure it out. And being seen that way just feels impossible and terrifying. So, no thanks yet.
I love that.
Give her time.
That's really good, too, because Sawyer's, like, 17, and that's right on the precipice. You know, you're about to go to college.
Yeah.
You're about to, like, be an adult.
Yeah.
And so all that stuff's still bubbling up.
Yeah.
Is Sawyer gonna leave for college?
I think that is where this fear bubbling up is coming from, because she might.
And then what?
But that's, yeah, that's big and terrifying.
That's separating from your entire sense of self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bertram?
My fear, two things.
Mm.
Clowns.
Of course.
Because I haven't shaken that one yet. I'm
getting
there.
That's okay.
And the fear of being ineffective.
Mm. Yeah.
That, because my whole personality is now based on righting wrongs, helping, fixing little problems.
Yeah.
And so my fear is that all of the little things that I spend my day worrying about and focusing on will be ineffective. That the helping Sawyer out at the bowling alley will actually hurt, you know, make it harder for them to do their job.
Yeah.
That me aiding and abetting in Jeannie's idea of ghosts by, you know, leaving little clues around the bowling alley will actually just hurt her even more when she finds out that ghosts aren't real and or I'm the one that's making it worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid of not being effective.
That's so sad.
Well, oh my God. Is this going to be a sad arc?
No,
Bert,
I don't think so.
By the way,
so.
No, I don't feel that.
No, I don't think so.
With the three of you, I really don't think so. I think we might have some moments, but I think overall it's not going to be a somber sort of ride.
Yeah.
To pick up the energy before we leave, so we're not leaving on sadness and fears.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you some things that I have established about the bowling alley in which you all spend so much of your time. And I am going to give you all, right now, a chance to each establish one thing, whatever you'd like, about either the bowling alley or the town of Triumph, Nebraska, that is instantly made canon. But I'm going to read you my list of things first while you think about it, because you've already all seen my list of things.
Okay.
So you get to determine what it is you would like to immediately pregame.
Oh, man.
Make sure is already extant in the world.
Fuck.
Your bowling alley that you work at is called Pinstripes. It is very confusingly themed. It is supposedly like 1920s mafia sort of theme, but the mascot is named Kingpin, and he does wear a crown and also a lot of pinstripes. It is owned, as I've said, by a mysterious man called Johnny Tenpins. He's very strange. He has a lot of weird policies for the employees, one of which is that he insists every customer is greeted with a what he calls period accurate and he always calls it period accurate but never specifies the time period. The employees also wear pinstripe vests and shiny gold name tags. And also at the time of year that you guys are at, the annual food drive, Bowling for Soup at Pinstripes, is being coordinated and will be happening very soon. That is what
Beautiful.
I have established.
Nice.
About Pinstripes, the bowling alley. And I would like to give each of you a chance to judgment-free establish anything you'd like about this bowling alley, or if you're not interested in establishing something at the bowling alley, something about the town of Triumph, Nebraska.
Yes. Not about the bowling alley, but the town of Triumph, Nebraska has one small train station in it. And the train station has a horse that lives there.
A horse?
Yeah, a horse. And the horse is like unofficially referred to as the mayor. and, That horse just kind of lives around the train station and is a thing that everybody knows and like just sort of lives there.
You call him
and
the mayor.
And is retired, and we all call him the mayor.
And his pension is snacks from our pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
A fat horse.
A well-fed horse.
A well-fed horse, yeah.
Thank you so much for the mayor. What a gift.
Oh, you're welcome. That's so
great. I don't think I can add anything on top of that.
You have to.
You could skip your turn, but I'm letting you put anything you want into the world pre-playing. Okay. So I want you to take that chance if you have any ideas.
There's a ghost in the bowling alley.
Grace, unprepared casters. Pick a different thing.
You said anything.
I did. Pick a different one.
The town of Triumph, Nebraska is haunted by
Bertram. Let me think. We've established that it's haunted by Bertram.
No, Bertram's still alive. Let me think.
Grace, unprepared casters.
Nick, go.
So, what about the town? There is only one working stoplight, and they treat everything else as stop signs. And the one working stoplight.
It's just the blinking red.
Yeah. And the one working stoplight is by the train station. And for the bowling alley, 10 pins always forgets to pay the water bill. And so it'll oftentimes have the water get cut out and nobody will know until someone tries to flush.
And then
Nightmare.
I always have to deal with that situation while 10 pins
and
is
a lot of times
on the phone.
And and I'll oftentimes just I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I steal water from the Dollar General and I truck it over.
From your mom?
Yeah. No, I mean, she'll never, she would never think I would steal something because she's watching
me. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're a perfect baby boy.
Yeah. What else? I feel like, you know what? You gave me one. You give me an inch, I'll give it a mile.
You're just going to keep kind of saying more
The town of Triumph is haunted by ghosts.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There are real ghosts in the town of Triumph, Nebraska.
That's
what I was saying.
Grace, did you have anything non-ghost related you wanted to establish about the town or the bowling alley?
Yes, this is a small town, right? Small town. I think we have, like, really good public transportation, even though you don't, like, you could walk everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think we have, like, 5 buses.
Oh, nice.
And they kind of just get in the way.
They use school
the
buses.
The town's so small.
They use the same school buses. So anytime they are
for
running.
For public.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was the mayor's idea.
It was the mayor's idea, and it causes a lot of traffic, actually, because of how small the town is. There's 5 full-blown school buses going down the street at a time.
I love that. That's great.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, thank you. And also, it's so haunted.
There's a real ghost.
Thank you for agreeing to play a game with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for making some wonderful teens that are going to be put in so much peril. I can't wait to accidentally spend the first 5 episodes in a bowling alley playing bowling. That's going to be huge, I think.
Roll for strike.
For us, for the brand, for the sport of bowling.
We're putting that one on the map, baby.
Nobody's ever heard of this shit until
us. Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah. What Stranger Things did for D&D, Underbear Casters will do for the sport of bowling.
The sport of bowling. Thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next week with our first actual gameplay episode, episode 1.
Woo.
See you there.
Bye-bye.
so much for listening to episode 0 of Unprepared Casters, Wild Things. I hope you enjoyed meeting the cast. Aren't they fantastic? It's such a fun arc. I am so excited for you to hear the rest of it. If you would like to get full body PNGs of the character art, you can find that coming out this week on our Patreon, patreon.com/unpreparedcasters. And now you will also get versions of the character art, just not the full body transparent background images, on all of our socials as those come out this week. Socials such as Instagram, where we are at Unprepared Casters. We're also at Unprepared Casters on Threads and Blue Sky, though I guess the Blue Sky handles are really long and I can never remember what they are off the top of my head, but we're Unprepared Casters and then all the rest of it that comes with Blue Sky. If you're still on Twitter, we're at UnprepCasters over there. And if you're looking for us on YouTube, you're not going to find our character art. That'd be a weird place to put it. But you can find all of our recent video one-shots, two-shots, various shots. We're UnprepredCasters over there as well. You can also buy our merch, wear it on your body, put your liquids inside of it. That's going to be at UnprepredCasters.com/shop. And you could also just look at me and Amelia if you wanted separately. We don't have a joint social media account yet. If you're looking for Amelia, you can find them most places at Amelia Somm, or you can go to links.ameliasomm.com. And if you're looking for me, you can find me on TikTok at WhipJack, WhipJack. You can find me on Twitter at WhippedJack, WhippedJack. Jack, you can find me on YouTube at Haley WhipJack. I just put out a 2.5 hour long video about Castiel Supernatural. So if that's what you're into, that's where it is. And a huge, big, extra thank you to all of our $15 and $25 patrons. We could not do it without you. Patrons such as Valerie Ann, Petal, also Dylan, Rebecca Lawton, Caroline, Tali, Cal Neville, Alyssa Bryan, Lacewing Apologist, Abby Greer, Remix City, Celtic Lord of Mice, Jade Crown, Ellen Stanfill, Gandalf the Gay, Andy Rowland, Mage 101, South Space, Silas S., Odd Pit Pat, Justin Friedberg, Ilya Nepomnishi, Jesse Dubin, N. Shill, Derek Rogers, Archisythed, Trace of Silver, Bridget Surdock, Tired Vi, Ryan Meese, AJ Bissinger, Beetle the Bard, Charlie, Jennifer Wilde, Legos Jedi, Depresso Espresso, Jane, Yashirost, Daddy Diabetes, King Smiley, Jack Lionheart, Justin, Bungitor, Sierra, Aiden Sawood, Alan Beck, Andromedas Blackshire, Kyle Boniel, Beardic Knowledge, Azula's Tale, Stefan Odom, Amalia, Might Be Three Pixies in a Trench Coat, The Emprix Mixar, DM Squared, Marky Boy 15, Orbabor, Andy, Cole, Sherman Manring, Ian Schwarz, Meta Rapina, Lady Drew, Marigold Morrigan, Rachel Goodman, Nerd the Guy, Grimmy, Cobra 111, Esker, Mary R., Leaf Caliber, Gabriel the Sorcerer, Hollis, Zebby Lown, Pete Alexander, Courtney Danielle, Lucas Guerin, Luminelli, Beckles, Oliver Neville, Feywild 42, Fluffy Socks, Zach, Bucketmaster, Faye Nightshade, Cam Kasicki, AJ Downs, Mitherwine, Elcyon Hero, Bex Rhodes, Annie G, Rue, Caroline Harden, Joey the Dynamo, Landa Litch, Jenny Waboom, Nicole, TJ Astor, and Elma Cochran. Thank you so much!